Warning, the following podcast may contain language that some listeners may find offensive or confusing or intriguing. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to the 3v3 podcast, your socially distanced hockey chat show. Here are your hosts, Cassie, Pat, and Patrick.
Last year, I really suggested the Sharks and the Panthers make a trade. Bobrovsky for Erik Karlsson straight up. Who's regret in not doing that deal more than San Jose? Is it Pittsburgh? It certainly isn't Florida. Who, Bobrovsky, you can't deny he could be in a Vezina conversation. I doubt he is the front runner. I doubt he would win, but he could. I wouldn't be surprised if he's a finalist.
Does that conversation happen a la that 70s show downstairs in someone's basement with a low-hanging cloud of haze and everyone's pupils dilated and a bag of Doritos just burst open on the central table?
I don't know. Is that what happened at the GM's meetings this week? If so, no. Then yes, because they're the ones that pick and they're GMs.
That would have been in a conference room around a big circular table with a low-hanging haze of cigar smoke and a burst-open bag of ketchup chips.
God, they are boring.
Yeah, well, you know.
Hockey, hello.
I know, but sometimes you're just reminded how bad it is. Let me look here. Go to the arbitrary stats. Oh, he's only fourth in wins. So no, he won't even be a finalist. Sorry for getting the show started off on a slow foot. Thatcher Demko will win the Vezina.
Certainly won't be Hellebuck after the last two games. Yoink. Jinkies.
But he's tied for third in wins with said Bobrovsky. And that's the only thing GMs look at, so.
Who votes for Vezina again? Is it the media?
The GMs.
GMs. Oh, so they're just going to, like, if their guy isn't one of the finalists, then they're just going to vote for the name that they know best.
Or whomever's, you know, goalie in the room, whomever's friend in the room has a goalie in the conversation. Mm-hmm.
I thought they were just going to ask an assistant to load up the stats page and sort by wins.
Maybe that too.
They might do a multi-sort, Pat. It could be wins and then save percentage.
Okay. Well, if it's like that, I mean,
or GAA.
Well, Bobrovsky is one in GAA. He is tied for third in wins, tied for seventh in save percentage. Yeah, that's the one that does him in. Although his save percentage is...
doesn't matter.
619, and the leaders was 620 before Connor Hellebuck played a game.
Doesn't matter. Multi-sort, man. If you're out, you're out. Total Price is Right failed music. Oh, dear God in heaven. Are we done yet?
Isn't this just a slog?
With what? Yeah. Specify what you mean being done with. Hockey season?
The regular season.
Okay, because there's a lot of things going on that you could be done with.
Oh, very much true.
We do not have enough time in the universe to go through that list.
McKinnon's parents with the Canadian tuxedos. That is beautiful. Yeah, I will stay out of the metaphysical answer to that question. We'll just keep it scoped to hockey, which would be.
But even still, first even if for it's this just podcast. Even if it's just hockey, there's still a whole bunch of things you could be done with. Yeah,
that's true.
And even if it's just the NHL, or even if it's just the Edmonton Oilers, there's a whole lot of things you could be done with. So that's why I needed some, like, you know, clarification on that.
We didn't really do anything about the trade deadline, did we?
Yeah, kind
of. Was there anything that sort of made your eyebrows go, huh?
Is there anything usually?
I mean, I think I made mention Don Waddell did stuff not based on a spreadsheet. Hmm. He actually took a flyer on two players, and my goodness, things are working out quite well.
I don't know as if there was no spreadsheet involved, Pat. I think there was a little bit, and that's
yeah. Their window is closing faster than they're willing to admit, and take some low risk gambles, which they did.
But gambles on players bouncing back be underlying numbers, right? That's all you ever hear.
I mean, Kyle Dubas wishes he pulled off a trade for Kuznetsov and got the, you know, immediate satisfaction of a return. He gets like the fourth line version of that.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Dubas. So there was an article on NHL.com about Dubas and his GMing philosophy. And he's like, I'm doing things differently. And I'm like, you're doing everything like every other GM. I don't know what you're thinking here.
Well, no, he's doing them differently, Cassie. Mm-hmm.
He's not complaining to his immediate boss because he tried to sabotage things.
So he's, instead of putting the phone in his right ear, he's putting it in his left ear, and therefore
exactly.
He's doing it differently? No. He's putting the landline up to his left ear and his cell phone up to the right ear because, because at this year's draft, he's going to do the reverse meme.
Oh.
The opposite of what he's been known to do.
Gotcha.
Although I do have to, like, full disclaimer, I do actually listen better out of my left ear, so I have my phone in my left ear. So, anyway, poking fun at myself. It's okay. Moving on.
Wow. Wow, what a non sequitur, and I love it. Honestly, don't know where to go with that. It's sort of like you're kind of like the Eric Carlson on the phone, right? You're really only good at turning one direction.
Well, no, so we're gonna go down this like tangent. I'm actually left side dominant, but I'm right handed.
Yes. Here.
Yeah, so I do more things left-handed than I do right-handed by nature, but I write right-handed and I have better, what's that called? I can manipulate things better with my right hand, like tiny things. I can't think of what that's called right now. Anyway, I left side dominant. So I listen, I have phone up in my left ear. I turn on my left foot. You know, that kind of thing. Reach with my left hand. But if it's something that's like, you know, writing or you need fine motor skills, that's the word. then I tend to go right handed. So
you would have been okay having the surgery that Carlson had because you are left foot dominant.
Probably, yes.
He is right foot and it tanked him.
Yeah, probably, yes. I'm technically ambidextrous, but you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there you go. There's the full tangent for you, and you can go on with the Eric Carlson thing.
What do oranges have to do with it? I'll never forget that. Never date stupid people. Now I'm curious as to why the hell there's a pets.com order at my front door. I don't have any pets. Sorry. Wow. Talk about like squirrel. This is the only bad thing about my office facing our front porch is, you know, I catch the out of the side of my eye, I catch the Amazon and UPS people showing up, and it's just total squirrel moment for me. I don't know. I've beaten Eric Carlson up enough, whatever. My love for Quentin Byfield is still growing exponentially with every game I watch him play.
Okay. So Patrick, you brought up QB 55. Should we talk about the 2020 draft class?
Yes, we should.
Should we go down that little rabbit hole?
Yes, we should.
All right. Well, so there was an article, a local article by, let's just say,
a localist,
a beat reporter for the Hockey News, because would you believe it? I'm sorry, I'm stalling, and I do not know how the Colorado Avalanche didn't just tie the game.
Hey.
Oh, boy. Wow.
Especially with Tristan Jarry. So does a beat reporter walk around like with a little Van Dyke beard and a beret and black turtlenecks and do everything in jazz, man?
They don't even get that joke anymore. They're too young.
Oh, dear God. Cassie, shut up. Damn it. Let me have my moment.
It's okay.
Anyway, so the local Carolina beat reporter for the Hockey News was musing and putting out an article about Seth Jarvis, who's having a resurgent couple of weeks because he is no longer stapled to the right wing of his captain, former NHL skater, but still current NHL player, Jordan Staal. He's big and slow for his age. Like, he doesn't have the foot speed to generate offense in the regular season. And it's where offense goes to die on that team.
He was
big anyway,
and slow for his age when he was 21.
Yeah. Well.
Anyway, sorry.
19.
Okay, we'll go there.
He won the cup and then he slowed down. Anyway, so he puts out he teases an article by saying, is Seth Jarvis the best player to come out of the 2020 draft? Statistically, and based on with a little bit of recency bias, you could make that argument. Mm-hmm. If you live on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm. No one lives on Patrick, the West Coast. Come on, we all know this.
Do you want to take it away?
Shut the hell up. Watch a goddamn game that starts after 7 p.m. East Coast or West Coast time and watch some real goddamn hockey players. Specifically, a guy who has finally been given ice time, finally been given a chance to play regularly.
Oh, ice time. There's the kicker. If you look at all the players, if you were to sort his draft class by points scored thus far in their career,
he's lagging
seventh.
Yeah, he's lagging in the first round.
But if you were to look at their points per 60,
the guess numbers, who's sitting second or third?
Yeah, and charging up fast. Well, at least. Yeah. The names around him are actually pretty solid. Like, Stützle leads the list in points because he got to play as an 18-year-old and he got to play minutes. And we've said it before, we're going to say it again. Somebody's got to score.
Well, he got to play up in the lineup, too.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't sitting down there getting 12, 13 minutes with, you know,
a couple of rocks
grinders
and a cement bag.
Lucas Raymond's up there, same situation. You know, he got to play with some better players higher up in the lineup, but he's starting to tail off.
I wouldn't say tail off.
I would say he's not going to produce at the rate we saw in his rookie season.
Right. I think he's normal.
Or last season. He's leveling out. Lafreniere, Seth Jarvis, Quentin Byfield, they're all starting to excel. Their graph is going straight up, but the angle at which Byfield's is going, with oh, at least 40, 50 games given up to all those competitors.
Yeah, he's almost a season behind everyone else in games played.
Yeah. Stutzla played year one. Everyone else, Raymond, Lafreniere, Jarvis, Lafreniere played year one.
Yeah, but he was parked but.
Yeah, Raymond and Jarvis started the year after. Dawson Mercer, thank you for coming. You're stuck in purgatory. It's not really hell in New Jersey.
It depends what part of New Jersey.
I'm so not getting into that conversation.
Is it central New Jersey? Is it this? No. Quentin Byfield.
My son.
Could he make an Olympic team?
No. And only because of a sheer act of stupidity.
Should he be the black ace on an Olympic team for the next go around?
Yes, but he won't be because of a sheer act of stupidity. Because if you watch him play, and yes, I am slamming the table like Khrushchev at the UN. I'm going to make all the old jokes I can today. If you watch him play, he is a monster puck hound. He has taken everything that Anze Kopitar and probably Philip Deneau have taught him about tracking and back checking and all of those sorts of things and put it in that frame with that speed and those hands.
With that speed is the key here.
Yeah. And he is a monster. It's a stupid little play that ended up, you know, it didn't end up in a goal or anything, but it ended up in the Lightning taking a penalty last night. He got down and there was a turnover and Tampa had barely just moved it over the blue line. It was Anthony Duclair of all people. I love you, Duke, still. Quentin had him tracked him down, had his stick lifted, turned, had the puck, threw it to Arvidsson. Arvidsson, because Tampa was already starting to exit the zone, everybody had to turn and do an oh my God really quick. And Arvidsson had a head of steam in a clean lane where he broke through the four back checking Tampa players and ended up drawing a penalty. And that's not the only time last night that Quentin did that kind of stuff. Whether it was in his own zone or coming out of the offensive zone or even in the offensive zone, he is a puck hound, a monster puck hound. And somebody noted on one of the Kings fans that I follow, the reason he has had such a breakout year is one, he's getting the confidence, and two, the combination of the lines he's been on has put him in those positions where he's the retriever. He's the guy that goes in and gets it out of the danger, you know, goes and gets it out of the corners, goes and gets it out of the muck and makes some unbelievable passes to put it in a danger zone. I mean, the number of times, you know, in the last couple of weeks alone that Anze Kopitar has scored and then looked over at Quentin with that face like, oh my God, what a pass, has been ridiculous. There have been some that I'm like going, okay, you're up there with Drysdale, buddy. You're making that stuff backhanded at that speed and it's flat. Okay.
And he doesn't even need a boat to do it?
No. And I still, the image of him at full tilt is just, it brings the warm into my cold, dead heart. Because he gets going and the jersey gets a flapping in the wind a little bit. And it's just like classic Mike Modano, you know, which was one of the great sort of skating profiles in the North Star days. With that little oversized jersey, it sort of started flapping behind him and he had that speed and the wheels. And yeah, it's just a warm fuzzy. for me. But yeah, in two more years, they're going to be talking about the bus, the 2020 class again. And who is the best one to come out of it? And I said, the day he was drafted, they got the steal of a lifetime. He was 17 at the time they drafted him.
And isn't it funny that the
year,
isn't it funny that the Rangers have been hurting for,
yeah,
let's be honest, a first line center, because Zibanejad is coming up to the end of his peak.
Starting to tail. Yeah.
Still incredibly performative.
Yeah.
But still a great player, but all great players start to tail off at some point. They only put up like 70, 80 points a game.
Yep.
Only.
I wish.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like so many players wish they could do that. And it's like, oh yeah, you're tailing off and you're no longer as good as you once were. Yeah, let's all look at Sidney Crosby for a second here, shall we?
Yeah, exactly. You've fallen off from 100-point seasons. You're only down in the 80s now. Oh, right. Dear God. Oh, woe is me, you know.
I know.
Instead of 1.5 points a game, you're only scoring, you're scoring
one,
just above a
one point. 1 point a game. And yeah.
And
speaking McKinney of a point.
Ovied.
I was about to say, speaking of a point per game, live in-game update, Nathan McKinnon's doing Nathan McKinnon things, and haunts the Penguins again. Tie game.
God, his dad kind of looks like Timothy Busfield too. So
wait, is Rantanen turning into Matthew McConaughey, or is that just me?
Wow. Well, all right.
I see what you're saying, though.
You know, the thing I like about college girls is no matter how old I get, they stay the same age.
Yeah, but he's Finnish. He doesn't have that sort of flair.
Oh, you'd think.
But no, just his look. Just his look. That's all I'm going
with. So Jari allows the game-tying goal. In relief because Nedeljkovic got pulled, I presume by a concussion spotter.
That's what I thought, too.
And then he got pulled. Not that Ned would have had any chance on that goal.
Well, no, because McKinnon Ovid.
Well, yeah, I mean, now to answer the unspoken question, yes, Jari is now the goaltender of record.
Yep.
Don't you just love that quirkiness?
I mean, it's the same thing in baseball, right? Pitchers, the pitcher that gives up the tying goal becomes the pitcher of record.
Or a player who did not allow, a goalie who did not allow a goal in non-shootout was the goalie of record in a tie game.
Mm-hmm.
Never allowed a goal in his NHL career, but Mike Murphy.
Oh, God, that's right.
He lost a game that way. In his only one of two NHL appearances.
That is the stupidest stat, because he reads one game played, zero goals allowed, 1,000% GAA, and loss.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, it's like that Star Trek, like, well, who was it? It was like Captain Picard quote of, you can do everything right and still lose.
It's just... I'm fine with that, except it was the zero goals allowed on whatever shots he faced, and then a save percentage of 1,000. So his GAA is 0.00. His save percentage is 1.00.
Oh, no, wait. So Ned came back.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Jari gets pulled right at the... I mean, I presume as soon as Ned was good to go, he would have gone back in.
Yeah.
No, so I'm all about I am all about that from baseball days, because Cassie, you know, the number of times that Bobby Aiello became the pitcher of record when he'd come in and blow a lead.
Oh yeah.
The proposed rule changes make any sense to anyone?
Too many lawyers in the room.
It makes me think of, like, during COVID. one of our vice presidents of the company I work for decided to do a restructuring, internal restructuring, reorg. And at that point in time, I was like, so they're just trying to justify their job at this point. That's kind of where I thought, what I thought. It's like, oh, so you are just trying to justify your salaries. All right.
They just don't want to do anything of substance.
I don't know that they recognize what anything of substance actually is.
Agreed. But it's just like what face-offs have become. Let's tweak and nip around the edges and make this ridiculous. Like, yeah. I do like that they decided not to do anything to overtime.
And the one that like got me was that players are no longer allowed to put a leg over the boards in anticipation of a line change. I'm like, what? What, are you dumb? Why are you doing that? I mean, who cares?
Well, the reason they did it, but it wasn't spoken, is like the week before a linesman got cut by a skate on the bench.
Yeah.
Which I get. They're hypersensitive to skate injuries of any kind.
They didn't just suggest that all linesmen wear cut-proof undergarments?
Imagine that. It's just there's common sense and then there's hyper overreaction to what
there's,
just happened.
There's common sense.
And then there's the NHL.
Exactly.
And then there's the NHL. Again, I don't know that they recognize how to be proactive. I think that everything they do is reactive, and you know, that's why the whole Dubas thing, like that his quote just killed me, because I was like, you're just going to be reactive and do everything that you normally would have done, which is basically what every other NHL GM has done. And instead of having, I mean, if he was actually going to be different when he took over that job, he would have dismantled that team immediately. You know, he wouldn't have waited until they started to crash and burn to do it. He would have been like, gosh, we have an aging core. We need some like prospects. Let's start trading in November, you know?
The puck out of play coaches challenge. Why?
Oh, because there was one incident that they missed.
One.
So, according to The Athletic, the past two full seasons, there have been 6 incorrect calls per season where this happens. Let's see.
How many NHL?
278 penalties. One season for this. 254. They get these things wrong next to never. This is the Matt Duchene incident just waiting to happen. Let's spend 10,000 minutes looking for, does this puck, you know, change trajectory?
Well, then how can you say it doesn't change trajectory?
Is there an inertia? No, it's the whole intent versus what actually happened thing. Is they want to be able to call it, you know, have it called back because someone didn't intend to like pop it out of bounds. It's like, well, that's like 90% of the time, 95% of the time. Nobody like tries to pop the puck out of bounds anymore on purpose.
I grew up watching hockey in the days where guys would, if they were under pressure in their own zone, especially goaltenders, would intentionally shoot it out.
But they don't do that anymore because of the penalty. Well,
no, because now the penalty, right. But that's what I'm saying is, did everyone, I mean, there wasn't any uproar over it. You know, all they had to do was Nothing. I mean, yeah, it's, you know, on the power play. Or not on the power play. Not even on the penalty kill. They'd just ice it. And if they couldn't ice it, then they'd chuck it over the glass. Anything to get a stoppage, right? And goalies now just sit on the puck.
Right.
I mean, I specifically
God, I wish one of my teammates would do that sometimes.
I specifically remember the days where, you know, they'd shoot it in to go chase it, and the offensive team, you know, had numbers coming in, and the goaltender's like, and would just shoot it over the glass because he had no way to get it out because they weren't good at playing the puck, and two, they had no support back there to help them. So, whoop, over the glass, take a face off and be done with it.
It's just something that slows down the game. It's just going to be another one of those things that makes the game drag on.
Which is probably fine for TV now, because then they can sell ads.
Right.
You know, it's just like the stupid, it's just like the football, right? There's a reason there's a minute in between each play so they can sell ad space and do all these big, huge, you know, reviews of what just happened. You know, this review brought to you by, you know, DraftKings.
So all that nonsense was just legalized as of 2 weeks ago. Thankfully, the number of ads has started to go down. My God, was it obnoxious.
Was. Still is.
Well, we're in an election year, Patrick, so somebody else bought a few ads.
There's different
so I'm seeing
levels.
Less...
There's different levels of ad obnoxiousness when you're in an election year.
Speaking of obnoxiousness, should we just tell the world we told you so? Because live in-game update, Jonathan Drouin called game. The Penguins lost in overtime.
Oh,
but they got a point. Not that it matters at this point. They're all but mathematically like eliminated from making playoffs, but you know.
Because they don't play in the Western Conference.
And it's another one goal game for the Penguins.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Now the Avs fans can totally pull it was the 4-0 on them.
Yep.
Who did he turn around, I wonder?
I'm sorry, turn around?
Who did he blow by? Oh, I'm sorry, it was Chris Letang. Great,
yeah.
Great job there, Chris. You're really...
It was the other 30-something right-handed defenseman. But oof, that poke check.
I don't know what Nadal... Okay, so anyway.
This is now, why I didn't watch the third period, because like I totally would have been doing this instead of listening to you guys.
Well, you would have been part of this, because, you know, wow. Watch a game with Cassie, Pat, and Patrick 2 days after it happened, live.
I mean, sometimes it's nice when you know the results and you can, you know, not look at what you're supposed to.
Yeah, I don't even bother. It's like, unless it's live, I don't watch it.
Yeah, you shake your head like that, Letang, because...
Yeah, whew, Pittsburgh.
Boy, howdy.
Should have been in a rebuild, not going to make the playoffs. And we said the same thing about the Capitals.
Oh God, it's because nobody else in the East wants the damn last two playoff spots, apparently.
No one wants the last one, although if I'm
some teams are just like Pittsburgh are just way too far out at this point. Like I said, they're all but mathematically eliminated.
No, it's gonna come down to three teams for one spot. It's gonna be the Islanders, the Red Wings, and I can't believe I'm saying the Capitals.
Yeah.
Just
the game of hot potato. Nobody wants it.
It is. It's like, it really feels like somebody, you know, they're playing that Russian roulette with a grenade. You know, you have here. I don't want it. Right. I don't have it. Okay, now I'm gonna go on the terror. Oh my God, it's coming back to me. No.
Meanwhile, I feel like someone in the West might luck into the second wild card spot if Vegas can't get healthy and they're going to do a repeat of two seasons ago. So get your bets in now for the 2025 Stanley Cup champion Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, pretty much.
miss the playoffs due to injury and then come and win the cup
again
pretty convincingly. Mm-hmm.
It might, boy, I can't believe I'm going to say this. It might behoove them to miss it.
It really would.
Because in the unlikely event that they even get 2/3 of the players back, what kind of condition are those guys going to be in? One, two, what are they going to be up against? And three, who else is going to be injured in the time between now and those guys coming back?
And what likelihood are they going to essentially survive the playoffs with fragile players?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, so far, Eichel has come back. He seems to be getting back up to game speed, carrying the offense a little more each and every game. But Aiden Hill just went down again. You know, Stone's not coming back anytime soon. Hurdle.
They just placed on LTIR to clear cap space.
Which is curious because, I mean, essentially he could have been on LTIR for the Sharks prior to the trade deadline. So,
but you can't trade a player on LTIR during the... No, wait a minute. Is it during... I thought there was a window that you can't move a player on LTIR unless you have the cap space to take their contract without them being on LTIR. There's some right. weird caveat to that whole thing.
Mm-hmm. And he wasn't going to start with the team anyway. So,
well, that was the funniest thing is I completely forgot about that whole thing. And so I started
Something came out a few minutes ago.
Well, no, until I was watching a Golden Knights game the other day and I was like, I haven't seen Hurdle. And then they just flashed something up on the screen that said, you know, he had surgery back in February. And I was like, oh, crap, that's right. It's almost as fun as the game of where is David Perron this year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because I completely forget, and then I'll see him in a game, and then I'll remember. And I was like, oh, crap, that's right. That's where he is. And then I'll go watch some other games, and I'll be like, I wonder where Perron... Oh, that's right. He's on this team. Wait, did I know that?
Yeah. Did he get traded, and I didn't realize it? And then there's always the fun game of, wait, he's still in this league?
I say that with too many of these players, Cassie, to be honest with you.
Wait, he's still in the NHL? I thought he retired.
I thought, wow, he's still in the NHL. He should have retired.
Mm-hmm. There's a number of those too, man.
Boy, howdy, Letang looked bad on that back check.
Speaking of retired hockey players, Cody Hodgson's decided to make a comeback into hockey.
Good for him.
And he's actually looking like a pro hockey player. Not going to say anything more than that, but he's looking like a pro hockey player.
If he bounces between the AHL and the bottom six for some team, good on him.
Because one thing like good players never lose is their hands.
Yeah.
Over time.
Mm-hmm. Speed, it's not anything else.
It's usually the foot speed.
But as Joe Thornton showed you, that can be gone and as long as the brain and the hands are still there. It's only when you really lose what little foot speed you had left.
Well, no, but here's the thing, though, is that you actually have to be good positionally to begin with before you lose your foot speed.
Yeah. I was about to say, also, not everyone is Gallagher.
True.
Because Thornton, he was quick, but he never had that game breaker speed to separate. He could just use his frame and ward you off. But Hodgson, 8 points in 12 games in the AHL. I mean, good for him. And then there's Akeem Alou.
Thank you. That's exactly where I was going to go.
Yeah. Getting a chance with the Barracuda. And good on my career. because talented players, I'm sure he has something left in the tank.
And even if he doesn't, man, think about like the mentoring or even transitioning into a coaching position.
Yeah, just getting back into hockey from the inside.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it. I don't know how to frame this. It pisses me off that it took a black GM to give him a chance. But it also kind of makes me happy that there was a black GM to give him a chance, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have taken this long, but I'm glad it happened. And, you know, I think he is there to be exactly that, that veteran, the guy who has been through probably more than most players will see in their lifetime. Off the ice, just to be down there, and you know, had a pretty good career in the NHL when he was up, you know, on the ice. Off the ice, different story for him, but you know, taking that extra step of showing you what it takes to be a real pro, you know,
not
taking
just
the
playing,
slings,
but like off ice and
exactly. Taking the slings and arrows of all the crap that's going to come at you from everywhere else.
Yep.
So as of now, he hasn't made his way into the lineup yet. I think there's an outside chance he plays on Sunday, March 24th. So by the time you're hearing this, who knows?
He may have played his first game. Lineup. Yeah, it's possibly in the lineup for the tonight's Barracuda game. The Cuda. The
benefit. It's almost like it would be a benefit to the game if more and more veteran players got to play in the AHL again.
So many of them don't want to, though.
Yeah, it's a matter of pride for many guys.
Lot of them it is. There's that, too. But, you know, yeah. I think it's the slog. It's the travel. Yeah.
Everyone has joked about the idea of, oh, let's add two more NHL expansion teams. And the more and more I think to myself, I think hockey would actually benefit from becoming a little more regionalized and potentially looking into European models of relegation. But if you could cut down on the constant travel cross country, if you could shorten up the trips, if God forbid we ever had a train service in this league. Man, would that cut down on expenses for teams?
Yeah, I don't think they care.
No, they don't, but it's just, oh, it makes too much sense not to do it, and that's exactly why it's never going to happen.
See, I think that the problem with the whole relegation thing isn't so much that it's a bad idea as it is that teams would have to actually recognize and accept the fact that they don't develop players. So what's the point of having the AHL as a developmental league? You know?
Yeah, but they do it in Premier League, Cassie. I mean,
right, but I'm talking
the top tier teams will send younger players on loan to the second division teams.
Right. But what I'm saying is that right now the mentality seems to be the AHL is development and development only. So you only have your prospects in there and maybe some like random veterans to help them out, rather than the expectation that the prospects will start at a lower level and then work their way up. It's a, we're going to put you here because this is where you're supposed to be kind of thing. You see what I'm getting at? There's a difference between having a league that's dedicated to development and only development versus having a ladder structure like relegation, where the expectation is a player is going to work their way up the ladder. It's like a holding area rather than just work your way up kind of thing.
Yeah, but we get back into the selling of players. Could you imagine if Washington got relegated
Yeah, but that'd be awesome.
Well, I mean, it would be funny, but, you know, is how many times do you see this, right? A English Premier team gets relegated and the first thing they do is sell off all their high-end players.
Right.
Because their revenue has now just been dramatically, you know, halved. You know, and yes, there is a parachute in the English Premier League where they, I think it's 2 years or 3 years, you get a stipend type, you get a bulk payment to help soften the blow. But, you know, first time this happens in the NHL, man, could you imagine what would have happened to the Avs that year that they had, you know, two wins or whatever it was? McKinnon's gone. Landeskog is gone. And now what do you do? So it becomes, I mean, in a weird way, it's better for the players.
Mm-hmm.
It's way better for the players because you get into that European model of transfer windows and salaries start climbing and going everywhere and terms become more flexible. But it also would absolutely dismantle some franchises for a long time. And I'm looking at, what was it? There was one English Premier team, and I'm completely sorry. I know people are going to start screaming it. That was a top tier team and then got relegated and then punished and have been trying to fight their way back for like 20 years. And it was one of the bigger teams, and I'll be damned if I can remember it. But, you know, it would be a death knell for some franchises, and I'm kind of looking at Columbus.
It would also be, though, because general managers in the NHL and hockey ops people generally are not great at what they do because they tend to hire former players as like for name recognition. And they're not always trained in that position like they should be. They barely know how to manage teams in the current model. If there was relegation, they would be clueless. Nobody would know what to do. So yeah, it would take forever. If not, they would be relegated forever sort of thing for some teams because general managers just wouldn't have the skill set to figure out how to get out of it.
But in a game that's hyper regionalized, where everyone only cares about their team, it's a system from the fan perspective that could work if it weren't for hockey men. Which is a big if.
Well, that's because they think that they're getting, they would, that's because they think that getting national TV rights gives them more money than trying to get regional TV rights and milking the region for all that's worth, you know? Because hockey's still largely gate-driven in when it comes
they
to profits.
They want the sure thing, so right. They take those
and
off
so,
that deals.
Because hockey is gate-driven, they tend to forget about that or disregard that because they're trying to chase the TV deals. And so they would never go regional because what they all want is national TV like exposure because they think that's going to make them more money.
But wouldn't it be nice if there were more North American-based teams where players like a Hodgson or anyone who had multiple years of injuries, if they were able to take a year off, legitimately take a year off, let's say Jesse Puljujärvi, double hip surgery, he came back mid-season, probably way earlier than he should, full time to heal, but there were enough clubs to make a comeback actually feasible to the point where he's not completely deteriorating his body and he can get back to a higher level of play than he's showing right now with the Penguins. Sure would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe for something completely different. Should the Olympics just be changed to threes?
God, I don't care.
Well, no, because that would eliminate the NHL and we might have something fun to watch.
Yeah, I still don't care.
I only bring this up because I was having a conversation about the summer games coming up soon. And lacrosse is introducing they call it 6v6, but it's really, it's hockey. It's five players and a goalie on a modified field. And I'm actually really looking forward to it because it's probably exactly the game I've been asking hockey to become for the last 10 years. Just up and down, back and forth. Oh, you take a bunch of shots and miss the net. They go out of bounds. Oh, that's a turnover. Just give it to the other team and go. We get rid of all the slow stoppages and face-offs. It'd be a fun little litmus test to just flip the sport on its head.
You know,
which is
you
why
know what sport is like hockey, and very few people recognize this, is basketball. Except for the goaltending rule in basketball, and you know, having a goaltender, obviously. But like setting up everything, like setting up plays, mm-hmm. passing, breaking like defensive structures, that sort of thing, it's basketball. I mean, yeah. Lacrosse is more so because there's goaltending, but still.
I just want a different entry point than the NHL. If you ever take anything away from me, it's like I like hockey more than the NHL. I think all of us agree with that. But it's the one major outlet. As I sit here waiting for the second period of the national championship game to resume between Ohio State and Wisconsin women.
I'm not sure how I'd want to root for that.
But against a bunch of Midwestern teams.
My first instinct is to go with Ohio State, but I categorically like tried to ignore everything about Ohio. So.
And meanwhile, Wisconsin's like the gold standard of women's right. hockey.
And I automatically like the underdog over, you know, the top, the best, the most wonderful, what everybody agrees is like as good as it gets. But
is there an underdog when one team went 35-5 and the other one went 34-4?
When you're not a Midwest team, I guess it also depends on how you define the Midwest, because some people throw Ohio in there. So, I don't know. I think that would be a game I would watch just purely for the game and not have an opinion as to who would win. Because I kind of want either of them too.
Yeah, and I believe they are the last two national champions, because I know Wisconsin won last year. I believe Ohio State won in 22. So no threes. I get it.
I just don't care about Olympic hockey. Like ever. It's me.
I'm right there with you. I really don't care either.
y'all that you know, get your yayas out. Good for you. It's just not for me.
Mm-mm. It's just a game to watch for me.
It kind of is too. You know. Oh, that's where that guy landed. You know.
I think the 2018 women's tournament was probably the peak. It's like, oh yes, I will get up in the middle of the morning to watch this. Because it's something that I really haven't seen happen in two decades. So, sure, let's go for it. Let's see one team beat the juggernaut.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's kind of gone now.
It's long past the time where I was actually interested in the whole, like, just sheer nationalism spitefulness. You know, now the whole nationalism thing with the Olympics just kind of grates on me. Partly it's not usually good hockey.
There's one.
And the hype, it just never meets the hype, too.
There's two.
And if it's in the middle of the night, heck no. I like my sleep more than, you know, any sports event. There's three. So...
Yeah. I will fully, freely, unabashedly admit there was a time in my life when I would stay up till 3 a.m. to watch Formula One qualifying on some weird ass race over in Australia. Or I would get up at 5 a.m. to watch my German Premier Leagues.
Yeah, never for me. Sleep is what keeps me healthy. If I don't get enough sleep, then eventually I'll get chronic bronchitis. So just can't do it.
Me, that time has... been and gone. It was fun while it lasted.
Yeah.
But it starts, you start to find the flaws in the sport. And I couldn't run away from Formula One fast enough because the races became too nitpicky, too legal, too much about anything other than racing. Oh, this team's cheating. Oh, there was a red flag because this guy, you know, did this thing in the pit lane. Oh, dear God. I get there are safety concerns, but sometimes you are just worse than people, you know, worse little biddies, just little me, you know. And hockey is starting to get that way for me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it has long since gotten that way for me. It's like the ever since COVID hit, it's just the flaws and the nastiness and the ugliness of hockey has just bubbled to the surface repeatedly. And at this point, I'm kind of like, this is kind of icky, and I don't really know if I want to be a part of this, even vicariously, you know?
Yeah. Is there a chance the Lightning catch the Maple Leafs?
Yes.
Speaking of icky.
Yes, and the Metropolitan Division would welcome such a change.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Which is why we're going to see a lights out 1-0 game between the Hurricanes and the Maple Leafs this evening. Because it should be another crazy 11-goal, 12-goal, 13-goal game. But it probably won't be.
Yeah, yesterday's early games were kind of wonky, weren't they?
That and then Friday's games where
I think
it was 6-5 Carolina and Washington as Washington continues to go on this nice little run that they're on. They're 7-3-0 in their last 10, 1-2 in a row.
Nice of them to wake up in time for the end of the season, huh?
I mean, it'll be a nice little bee in the bonnet of their owner that they get a cup that they could potentially get two home dates while his plans to extort taxpayers in some other area completely flounder. But hey, you know.
Just going to say, I remember having to drive to Landover, Maryland to watch Capitals games. So the fact that they're actually in D.C. and have been for a while has been a novelty for me.
I used to take the Metro in Blue Line.
Must have been nice.
Kind of, except the drive to Springfield to catch the Metro. I had to go through Quantico, which is just like a gauntlet. If there's any accident through on 95 through Quantico, it's bottlenecked. You can't go anywhere.
You mean you have to drive to Springfield to get on the monorail?
Yeah.
Monorail. What's that word again?
Metro?
Monorail! I am shaking a hat in my hand when I say it. Though.
Will that track ever bend? No, it won't, my Hindu friend. Monorail.
See? Trains.
Mono meaning one. Rail meaning rail. I will still never forget standing outside of the Cinerama at midnight for the Star Wars Episode One premiere. Every time the monorail would go by, the entire line of people would start singing the song. And that was the only entertaining part of that evening.
I used to take the monorail into the Seattle Center from Westlake.
Well, you had to.
I didn't have to.
But no, you had to.
But I did.
You had to. No. Okay. Ripcord. Beep, beep, beep.
This has been the 3v3 Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at 3v3 Podcast. We're available for NHL consulting at reasonable fees.